My ADHD is my superpower. And for the longest time, I had no idea I even had it. I just figured I had a bunch of shit going on. I know that I spent a bunch of years trying to address it, and it wasn't until I stopped trying to correct it, I mean, that I was able to embrace it and utilize it for things far more positive. But I gotta tell you, my inability to pay attention and link things together in several instances may have just saved my life. You see, I was always in the moment and only in the moment. So I never branched thoughts together. I just reacted to what's in front of me and let the chips fall where they may. And you know, I'm still here, and I can assure you, I shouldn't be. So I ask you, what's your superpower? What keeps you moving? What's kept you alive? You don't have to fly or have super strength to have a superpower. We all have them, regardless if you believe you do or not. And the sooner you embrace yours, the sooner you can take on the world on your terms. My name is Jason Farias, and this is my Madness Method.
I say I'm running, running, cause I'm in control. Hypnotic, gonna see a couple shots of Patron. How you feeling? I get your eyes a kite. Party pops on the station, coming with me tonight.
So, y'all, at no point was my confrontation with that Danny Boy guy intended to make me look like a gangster or fucking anything hard or anything like that. Like, that moment was purely for self-preservation. It's not like I walk around just ready for any old person to try to pull a gun and this is what I'm going to do, because in those moments I made a decision. And I made a decision to not consider everybody's opinion that this guy will never pull the trigger. I'm not relying on opinion in a situation like that. Also, what I never intended was for that to elevate any stature in the area. It's not like I ran around that neighborhood trying to take over or anything like that. Because remember, I'm just trying to have a good time. I'm just selling some dope to fund the party. Like, at no point did I ever consider my status in the area. I've never been one to like, oh, I want to be the man and I want to do this and I want to do that. And it's not who I am. You know, I've just always been on the hunt. Now, mind you, this isn't until looking back, but I've always been on the hunt just for acceptance and friends. And what a fucked up place to end up just because you're trying to be accepted. But nonetheless, this is what wound up happening. You know, word got around that this is what happened. You know, Jay did this to Danny Boy, and why the fuck nobody else did this? I don't really have an answer for that. Why the fuck wouldn't somebody else have just, I mean, it wasn't hard. Like, I whooped the shit out of this guy and he put up very little fight. And this guy had a gun on his waist belt. You know what I mean? Like, why nobody else did it? Why I was the one? That was just bizarre to me, because there's way harder motherfuckers standing right in front of me, much less in the area. You know what I mean? Like, why did it take me to get this done? But the tertiary issue that the area had was that Duck went right behind me and fucked this dude up for even thinking about trying to fuck with me. So now the word's getting around that Duck and I are clicked up, which is fine because Duck and I were really good friends. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm cool with it, you know. But as I had mentioned, you know, after this had happened, Cindy and I went back to Harbor Island, one, to lay low, you know, two, again, like I always tell you guys, when things happen, I need to separate myself and kind of work through the situation so I can process things. Oh, and I mean, hey, don't forget, we have two cats that are living with us. You know, Shabu and Pizzo. I mean, I got my little team over there, you know. So I mean, we got to go home. We got to take care of the cats. We got to go try to live like a piece of a normal life. But something new, something different was happening. Now, remember, we had the conversation about Shade possibly leaving a pipe under my couch, and then him trying to share with us that the cops are coming and this and that. That's still existing. Just because I'm not paying attention to it or giving it any mind doesn't mean that the scenario doesn't exist. Then there's the ass whooping I took from the cops, which for whatever reason, I just kind of took my lumps and kept it moving as though that was a normal fucking Thursday night. But Cindy and I, we get back to Harbor Island and we lay low and we're just kind of chilling and resting and almost like licking your wounds, you know, like we got to go back and try to recoup because we've been on one for so long. And there was a different vibe at Harbor Island that, you know, initially when we got home, we kind of noticed it because when Harbor Island was jumping, because I mean, it was a pay by the week place, like we had talked about. People coming into town that were staying for longer than, you know, however long, right? It made more financial sense to stay at a pay by the week joint. So you had new people coming in and out weekly, tourists and whatnot. And then you had the people that lived there regularly. So there was always activity happening here. And the night we got home after the Danny Boy instance, we didn't notice it. But after we rested some and heard the story about Duck and fucking dealing with Danny Boy, we started venturing out. You know, we got to do laundry. We got to get some food. We got to get some sun. But we noticed that there wasn't the same amount of activity that there previously was. And now I'm like, hey, you know, I even brought it to Cindy's attention. I'm like, isn't it like quiet? Doesn't seem quiet here. She noticed. And honestly, we kind of thought nothing of it and kept it moving. But there was this one night we had caught sight of this dude. Okay. Now this dude stood out like a fucking sore thumb. Okay. He was this tall white guy and he was in a leather jacket and cowboy boots that you could hear him walking around clack, 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 clack. But there are places in Harbor Island that, like, there was a way to go behind one of the buildings, but behind the building, there was like a maybe an 8-foot walkway and then a wall, right? So there's really no reason. There's no doors back there. It was literally the back of the building. So there's no reason to be back there. But that's where I saw this guy standing, was over between the wall and the building where this walkway started. You know the kind of people that are staying at Harbor Island. I stood out my front door and he had a clear shot of my front door from where he was standing. And I said, oh, fuck, man. Big ass white boy, leather jacket, boots. All right, I'm going to keep an eye on this. And then I take a walk, right? Because I didn't want to make it look like, oh, hey, I noticed him. I'm going to dip back in my apartment. You know, so I popped my door open and I looked out and I seen the guy and I kind of evaluated in my head what was going on. And I don't know that I had any answers in that moment, but I wasn't going to flinch. Pulled a cigarette out of my pocket, lit it up, and then just took a walk. And in my walk, and I walked to the other end, the east end of the complex. And there was another guy standing over there that didn't fit in. This guy would have looked normal to me. He was, again, a larger than normal human, but this guy looked a little more Hispanic, darker toned anyway. But the thing that threw me off about this guy, he was walking slow and he was just looking around. And he, again, he stood out to me, but it was his shoes. He had like tactical shoes on, like those black sort of tennis shoes, sort of boot looking shoes that cops wear. And I noticed that. I said, what? Well, that's weird attire. In the same night, you guys, like, all of this felt very intentional. Okay, we got one guy that's got eyes on my front door. We've got another guy on the other side of the complex that's just sort of roaming around. Now, mind you, it's got to be probably 10, 11 o'clock around this time. For this time frame in Vegas, if you live there, you're probably not out roaming around. And if you're there as a tourist, you're probably gone at a club, at a casino, whatever the case may be. So this is kind of that 10, 11 o'clock hour is really when you see less people. So these guys being out, they're standing out in their attire, in their behavior. But I'm getting this little gut feeling, right? Because I've made some acquaintances on the opposite end of the complex there. You know, I'm thinking, okay, if this is a cop, he's paying attention to this person, that apartment, and so on. I take a lap. And I make it up front. And I thought, okay, well, I don't want to make this way obvious as though, like, I'm trying to figure out who they are. So I'm not going to follow them around. So you know what? I'm just going to walk up the street and go grab me another pack of smokes and just kind of get a new look around when I come back. And I swear, sure as shit, I get up front and parked right in front of the office is this, I think it was a Blazer, like a Chevy Blazer style truck. And there's a guy sitting, leaning against the hood of his truck. And this is like a white boy, like a jacked white boy, sort of military looking, right? Got that crew cut. But this guy wasn't, he was in full tactical gear. I mean, this guy had on a vest and the pants with all the pockets on the legs and the boots and the whole shit, right? Like, this guy wasn't hiding nothing. Yeah, something's going down. Something's really going down. So I keep walking, I go get my smokes, I come back, and that white boy has not left the front of the complex. And so I walk up and I'm like, the one thing you got to know about me, one, I'm not going to not talk to cops. Okay. And we said that way back in the beginning. I mean, these are just people too. And the more you avoid them, the more suspicious you look. So in walking past, hey, good evening. Hey. And I was like, hey, man, what's going on? I'm like, I'm seeing, and I'm making an assumption. Like, I'm throwing a dart at a wall of balloons at this point. I'm like, hey, I'm noticing a couple of your guys around. What's going on? Is there something we should be aware of? And he was like, oh no, everything's fine. I'm like, fuck, it's fine. You wouldn't be here and you wouldn't have guys in perimeters, right? You got one in the west corner of the complex, one over on the east side of the complex, and you're in the front with the only in and out. I said, oh, this ain't right. Something ain't right here. And so I go back into my apartment and I let Cindy know what's going on. And she's, I mean, it's Vegas, and so we kind of brush it off like it's nothing, and we never loop around to the thought that, oh well, maybe this is what Shade was talking about. None of that shit. And so we go about our night. We didn't go anywhere that night. We just hung out. Stayed home, and the next morning, early, Cindy was going to finish up the laundry. And she wanted to get ahead of it because, again, with so many tourists being there, like, everybody uses the laundry room. She wanted to get ahead of it. So she went out early to go get it done. And when she walked out, that dude, the big guy in the leather jacket and the cowboy boots, was again standing over in that corner behind the building and again watching towards our area. And so she went and started the laundry and she came back. She told me, like, hey, that guy you were talking about is still over there. I said, yeah, really? You've just been standing there all fucking night? Like, that sucks. Like, whatever, an hour or whatever went by. And she goes to leave again. And when Cindy comes back, she has the laundry. And she took her a while, and I thought nothing of it. We might have been on one a little bit and she got distracted or something. But she came back and it had been a while. And she sits the basket down and she said, hey, that guy that was standing over in the corner of the building came up to me and asked me, ma'am, are you in danger? Is that guy you're with holding you against your will? Is he doing anything we should know about? It was at this time that he showed her a badge and he was telling her, you can come with me. I'll keep you safe. You can talk to me. It's okay. And she was like, motherfucker, you need to get the fuck up off of me. Because the one thing I tell you about Cindy, this bitch is fucking down. Like, she ain't about that bullshit. She may not fucking want to take the ride, but I'm telling you right now, dude, that girl ain't saying a fucking word. And when she told this guy, she's like, no, dude, that's my boyfriend. Like, what are you talking about? We're fine. We're here together. And he's like, well, you should know that man you're with is very dangerous. She's like, Jay? You know what I mean? Like, she just laughed it off because she's in the same mindset as I am. We're just having a good time, but they're there for me. They're there for me specifically. I mean, there's other people of interest, I'm sure, in the complex, but this guy thought he was gonna offer Cindy protection to try to get information out of her. And she was, motherfucker, what? Dude, fuck you. And she came back. And I was like, hey, where the fuck you been? And she sits down the basket and she goes, we have a problem. And she explains to me what's going on. And I was like, no, we don't. We don't have a problem. Because if you remember, I took that safe that had anything worth having around. Now, yes, did I have some drugs on me? I had some, none I was worried about. None I couldn't either swallow or flush or fucking whatever to get rid of if anybody came running in. I had enough money that I could explain it away. Remember, I was just gambling big time at the Wynn, so I would have used that as some bullshit excuse. Not that that would have gotten me out of it. But so anyway, I didn't have anything in my apartment that I was concerned with heavily. This is when my arrogance just enveloped me. And I was like, you think you're gonna catch me, motherfucker? Like, I got cocky as fuck with this. And so the day goes by, the guys go home. I took a lap later, a couple hours later, and they had all gone home. You know what I mean? They've been standing staring at my apartment for fucking hours by this point. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? So mind you, I had been hanging out over with Duck and everybody over at the other apartments. I hadn't been advised or noticed that D and Shade are no longer in that apartment down the way from mine. They had moved. But again, it had been, a couple weeks since I had even talked to them. This place is paid by the week. I've seen people come and go. So I sort of thought nothing of it. But then I'm like, man, where the fuck would these two have dipped to? And then these cops. And when I tell you guys, these weren't just cops. These weren't guys like working for some overtime. They were there for a very specific reason. And it wasn't until much later did I tie together my ass whooping by the cops over by the apartments and these cops showing up at Harbor Island. I didn't piece those two together for the longest. To me, they were separate instances. One had to do with Harris letting the LVPD know I was there. And the other was maybe Shade had snitched me out, or just the activity that I'm doing brought these guys. But I didn't connect the two for the longest. Now Dolly's gone, Shade's gone, these cops are around the location. And I thought, you know what? Let's have a little fun with this. So that next night, I take a step out. I don't know, had to have been around 9 or 10. And now this dude's not even trying to like not make eye contact with me. And so I go walking out the apartment and I walk straight the fuck up to this guy. I was like, hey man, what's going on? And when I tell you I had to look up at this dude, like, I mean, I was like, I was looking way up. But when I walked up to him, arrogant as fuck, dude, hands in my pocket. I looked at his feet for a second and I looked up to his face and I said, hey man, what's going on? Nothing. Nothing. You've been standing staring at my apartment for 2 days, bro. What are you doing? And the look on this guy's face was like the fucking gall of this kid to fucking come talk to me right now. But I mean, fuck it. If I'm going down, I ain't going out like a punk, dude. Let's fucking have some fun here. You've been staring at my apartment for now 2 days now in the middle of the night. That seems weird. Like, don't tell me nothing. You're a stranger here. I'm not. I just want to make sure you're here for not nothing bad. I don't know you. Matter of fact, I heard you talk to my girlfriend and he fucking like you could just see this guy getting pissed at me. But he's fucking looking down at me like it's nothing, of course. It's like, but yeah, you're talking to my girl. You're saying some weird shit, dude. And he got quiet and he was like, well, then you probably know why we're here. And I was like, no, I'm asking you, like, are you trying to kidnap my girlfriend? Like I spun it like I was dumb as fuck. And I completely misinterpreted the conversation that he had with Cindy. And I wanted him to think that I was a little stupid, but I was like, nah, I'm just like, it's weird. Like, are you talking to all girls like that? Like, oh, your man's dangerous. I mean, you got to remember there's like pimps and shit rolling around this area that'll kind of say anything to turn a girl out, So I'm sort of applying that mentality to this giant white boy that clearly doesn't fucking belong here. And he was like, no, we're here to just try to keep the peace. And he didn't say he was a cop, but nothing that that fucking guy said wasn't cop related. All of my comments and just me having the gall to come up and talk to him just sent this dude into cop mode and not undercover cop mode. He certainly wasn't any good at being undercover. He was spotted quick. But anyway, I was like, all right, man, like, thank you for your service. You know what I mean? You need some water? I'll get you some water. You hungry? I'll hook it up, trying to be nice or whatever. And he was like, no, I'm good. I said, all right, cool. Have a good night. And I walked off. And I took another lap and I almost followed the same path I followed the first time. I didn't see the Hispanic looking dude on the other side, but that doesn't mean he wasn't around. I just didn't see him. So I just kind of kept it moving and made it up to the front. By this time, Cindy had kind of made it out and I saw her walking over by the pool area, which is like centrally located at Harbor Island. And I sort of waved her over to me and she and I got together and I told her about the conversation I had with the big guy that talked to her. And she and I walk up to the front and that tactical white boy's out front again, right? In his blazer. I was like, come on, let's go talk to this one. And I walked up to him. I was like, hey man, my name's Jason. How are you? And he was like, oh, I'm good. And he didn't introduce himself. I was like, oh man, it's cool. I was talking to the guy over in the back, and I was just making sure everything was cool here. You know, I mean, it's kind of obvious that you guys are here for a reason. I just want to make sure everything's all right. And he was like, yeah, everything's good. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I just kind of leaned back on the truck with him and I lit a cigarette. I was like, so what do you do? I'm like playing dumb again. And he's like, oh, I'm tactical. I do this and that. I was like, oh, yeah. He was like, yeah, I do this like little side gig. I do security stuff. And then during the day, I teach marksmanship and this. I was like, oh, really? The guy got cool for a hot second because I was asking him about his interest, right? And he was like, yeah. He's like, I was in the military for a while and I was a sharpshooter. And during the day, I'll teach classes either at the base or for the police department or whatever. And then I just kind of do this security type stuff for some extra money. And I was like, no shit. I was like, where'd you serve? And he kind of went in, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of don't recall if he was Army, Navy, whatever. I don't remember. But I was like, yeah, where, and you were stationed? And he started talking about where he was stationed. Because here's the thing, you guys. If I wasn't doing the things that I was doing, these guys wouldn't be there looking at me. Okay. So I'm not mad at these guys. Right. Like now it's almost like a cat and mouse kind of thing, but these are still people. And the reality is I'm glad that they were there. In hindsight, I'm glad they were there. I would want them protecting my shit too. As an adult now looking back, I'm appreciative of what they were doing and I respect what they were doing. Okay. At the time, I was just being an arrogant fuck, but I was having a conversation with another human. And he was like, yeah, he told me where he was stationed. I don't fucking remember where it was. And then he was like, and then I did my training in California. I was like, no shit, I'm from California. I was like, where at? And he was like, oh, in Livermore. And I was like, oh, I was like, that's, you know, where my family's from. He's like, yeah, I was part of SWAT at the Livermore lab. And I was like, get the fuck out of here, dude. I was like, my uncle used to train SWAT guys at Livermore. And he was like, what's your uncle's name? And I told him what my uncle's name was. And I tell you right now, this guy's whole face washed clean of color and of emotion and of thought altogether. And it was just silent. And he was like, your uncle's my trainer. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, what a small world. He's like, that's who trained me through all of my stuff. He's actually the reason I do what I do now. And I was like, yo, this is fucking crazy. Like, what are the odds? And then I just threw it out there. I was like, what are the odds that you're here watching me and my uncle's the one that put you in the position to be able to do that? That's crazy. And when I said that, like, because now I'm just calling the fucking spade a spade, right? And I took full advantage of this situation. I was like, yeah, that's fucking nuts. You're here to watch me, and my uncle's the reason you even have the talent to bother. And I was like, hey, that's wild, man. And then we sort of reminisced. We both had like great stories about my uncle, because my uncle, and I'm not going to put his name out there, but when I tell you that this particular family member of mine is literally one of the best people on this planet. Okay. So for a moment, this tactical cop guy and this dope dealer are having a moment sharing fond memories of a fantastic person. And for that few minutes, this guy and I were not there as adversaries. He wasn't there for me. I wasn't avoiding him. But we had this moment of like just pure joy because of how good of a dude my uncle is. And we must, I'll be honest with you, like Cindy just sat back and was fucking blown away. Okay. What, like, honestly, what are the odds? When it was done, you know, and we sat and probably talked 30 minutes, and this guy shared stories of his training and things that he, like words that my uncle said to him that he still lives by. And I just absorbed it because my uncle's always been so amazing to me that I was just like being filled up with all this joy, and never mind the reason why me and this guy are having this conversation. But when it was done, I looked at him and I asked him, I was like, all right, man, so what's your name? And he's like, my name's Steven. I was like, all right, Steven, I'm Jason. And I put my hand out and I shook his hand and I said, if you need anything, you let me know. And he just looked at me so like, what a bizarre statement. You know, like where all of a sudden the reality kind of flooded back in. You know, like You know that part in the movie, The Ten Commandments, where the sea is parted and everybody runs across and then the sea collapses back in, right? Well, that was what was happening right now. The sea was crashing back in and reality was setting back in. This guy that was sent or hired, I don't really know what brought him there, how he got there, but he was there and he was there for me. So was that other dude on the back end of the facility and wherever that Hispanic dude fucking took off to. But he was there for me. But he was shaking my hand. What a bizarre turn of events. Like, what are the odds? And what does this mean for me? How am I going to capitalize on this? Now, this guy, Steven, like, he's attached to my uncle. I kind of owe it to this guy to not make his life difficult. But at the same time, it's not like I can just stop doing what I'm doing. That's not how this fucking works. So how do I spin this to not make this guy's life harder than it already is dealing with me, but also keep my shit rolling? The one thing, I don't know if you guys recall, but we had that conversation where, I don't know, I think it was episode 12, 13, 14. Anyway, when we got pulled over on Highway 120 in Manteca and the cops had us all pulled out, the SWAT team had us pulled out and shit. And they were questioning Cindy, and the lady told her, "Ma'am, you don't know your boyfriend's a known drug dealer." And I took that as a fucking compliment. What? I'm known? Well, this wasn't no better. For a kid that's already got his fucking ego and arrogance way unchecked, I feel like I have some control of the situation with these cops. And of course, I didn't see it as, hey, there are literally like SWAT guys watching me. I saw it as, I might have a new layer of protection here. How am I going to exploit this? How am I going to be respectful and not cause a bunch of commotion here at Harbor Island and keep my shit going and leverage this new relationship I got with this guy? Well, let me tell you. About a 3 or 4 days later, I'm back at it. You know, we had bounced out and went and hung out with Duck and KK and them over on the other side. And we came back one night and I saw Steven up front and I walked up. "Hey, Steven, how's it going?" He goes, "Man, I've been looking for you." And I was like, "What? Oh, fuck. Here we go." Like, and I'm just trying to think of what's in my pockets. You know what I mean? Like, is he about to pat me down? Is this going down? And he goes, "Listen, a few nights ago, I was here and I was taking a lap. And when I got off my shift, I was going to one of my trainings. So I had my guns in the back of the truck. They were locked up and everything. But somebody broke in and took the guns out of the back of my truck." And I was like, "Oh, fuck." I said, "Okay, what do you need me to do?" And he was like, "Look," and he told me the type of guns that they were. And these were not fucking guns we needed running around on the streets. You know, even I knew that as the guy that was probably as involved as the people that fucking took those guns, even I knew that these kind of tactical weapons needed to not be on the streets. And he said, "I need my guns back. Can you help me?" And I was like, with all the confidence in the world too, I got it. Like, I didn't even flinch. I was like, "Yeah, I'll get them back." And he was like, "Can we keep this quiet?" Like, he didn't want to get in trouble. You know what I mean? Like, he could get in real fucking trouble. He hadn't reported it. He was waiting to find me. And I did tell him, "If you need anything, let me know." Like, who the fuck would have presumed that something like this would have turned up? So I put the word out. Like, literally immediately, I put the word out. This is what happened. This is my area. Like, I didn't say, "Hey, you need to bring this guy's guns back." I said, "Whoever the fuck broke into a vehicle and took guns out of the back of this truck to try to bring heat to our area, the motherfuckers need to come back because you did not clear that with me." Now, what's crazy, I don't even remember ever telling anybody they had to clear anything with me, but that was the position that I took because now I'm thinking, look, I'm about to do a favor for this fucking cop that's going to get all of us some heat off of us. Okay. But equally, these guns can't be running around because I can't have somebody fucking, especially in my area, with that kind of firepower. So I just put the word out. Okay. We already know that I'm going to put hands on people. The presumption is the worst is going to happen to you. You know, I mean, fuck, hero in the squad might show back up. You just never knew at that point with me. So I put the word out. These guns need to fucking re get returned. And within 24 hours, And I shit you not, it was within 24 hours, dude. This guy's guns were sitting out front. Dude, here's the thing. Whoever the fuck brought these back just left them in like in front of the parking spot where the guy always parks. So these guns were just sitting on the fucking sidewalk when Steven pulled up. I shit you not. They whoever it was that took them brought them back and left them in the cases sitting on the ground, and nobody touched them. I don't know how long they were sitting there, but I found out that night at like 1 in the morning as I took a lap. Steven said, "Jay, thank you." And I said, "Oh shit, for what?" He goes, "I got my guns back." I said, "Get the fuck out of here. That was fast." I was like, "Hey, I don't know that I had anything to do with that." He goes, "Yeah, you did." You know, like he was like giving credit where credit was due. But it took me 24 hours of putting the fucking word out, dude. Nah, nobody cleared that with me. Fucking put the guns back. Put the guns back before you don't get the chance to use them. Was essentially what I threw out there. Now the guy that did share with me that he was the point man on the coverage for Harbor Island. Now I've just done him a super solid. I'll be honest with you, like I did not expect. I sort of expected to have gotten word that the guns, like where they were, maybe we'd have to go get them. Maybe I would get some guarantee that they were disposed. I never in my life imagined that I would be able to put the word out and the guns get returned. That blew my mind. And I gotta tell you guys, oh, you think I was arrogant before? Now this motherfucker owes me a favor. We have a connection through one of my favorite family members. And now I know that I can put the word out and fucking make shit happen. Oh, you guys, I feel like I'm fucking untouchable. But that was the point of view from like the Hefe version of me, and maybe even a little bit of the J version of me. But the Jason version started reevaluating and started really digging into the seriousness of where we were, because this is not part of making friends and fucking finding acceptance. Nothing that I just told you guys has any fucking thing to do with the reason why I was doing any of this. But yet there was a piece of me that took over and went all the way the fuck in. I'm gonna take a deep breath because I got myself all hyped up telling this one because, oof, my heart's racing the whole thing. I don't know about y'all. Anyway, I'd love to hear from you guys. You know the routine. My Madness Method on Instagram, MyMadnessMethod819 at Gmail. Hit me up. I'd love to hear your stories. I'd love to chat. I'm going to be working on a second podcast. I really, if you're listening and you want to have a conversation about your story, if you want to tell your story, to reach out to folks and try to do the same thing like I'm doing and just give people something to connect to. Hit me up. Let's have the conversation. All right? I appreciate you all. My name is Jason Farias, and this is my Madness Method.
Always into something, that's my name. Only out for money, hey, cause that's the game. People always ask me why I'm out for scratch. He who has the most is he who won the match.